$2 a beam, I think it cost us, and so we had this huge structure. But to build anything on it, we had to have a solid lump of concrete. And one thing we knew was concrete. We could do the labouring, all right, but concrete and steel cost money. So we were going to have to work, get a proper job. So we went to a factory, just drove around Penrose. As I said, it was very easy in those days. Men wanted, and all piled in and said, yep, what do you do? Well, we make dog food. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a night shift job. We said, perfect. We'd love to do night shift because then we can work on the commune. We're building a big community centre out there and we can work on that. And so suddenly we go from this beautiful, tranquil sort of bush and guitars and fires, and we're in this huge factory in Penrose and it's churning out love dog food, love your dog, love your cat. And they put on this sort of huge marketing campaign. And we went to work and we thought, oh, this is going to be murder, but at least we'll only have to keep it up for about 3 months. We thought we'd give ourselves that limit, and that would pay for the foundations and the concrete floor for the community centre. And of course, we get there, we work hard, because, you know, we're all reasonable. It's just one of these regular jobs where you're just putting cans on a rail or putting labels on a can. It's not particularly sort of hard work. But suddenly, the boss comes down and says, you're all fired. And we said, well, what do you mean we're all fired? We've just only been here 3 days, you know. And he said, no, well, didn't work out. Wasn't economic. Are you fired? I said, listen, mate, we've made a few, you know, adjustments to our life. You can't just fire us just because it doesn't work out for you. You know, you've got to give us notice and we get holiday pay. And he said, oh, you'll have to see your union delegate about that. And I said, yes, well, I will. Who is he? He said, me. I said, I didn't know the foreman could be the union delegate. He said, yes, we started our own union. It's called the Dog Food Workers Union. And there's three of us in it, me and the leading hand. And I said, oh, look, this is, this is hopeless. You know? So I went round the factory and said, look, I've tried to see the union delegate. The union delegate's the boss. And one of the guys said, oh, to hell with it. We'll strike. And I said, oh, yeah, but we're not sort of organised. The day shift will come in anyway and stuff it up for us. So we said, oh, well, we'll wait till the day shift arrives and we'll talk with them. So we just plodded on all through the night. Then 8 in the morning, the day shift came in. And we said, we've all been fired last night, so there'll be no night shift tonight. And we're thinking of going on strike. And will you guys join us? Never thinking they would, because they are all safe and secure. But, of course, factory workers don't necessarily love the jobs they said, oh, yeah, we'll go on strike. It sounds like fun. So suddenly the whole factory, all this noise and crushing and bones and it all just grinds to a halt. And the foreman, he charges down the steps and says, what do you think you're doing? You know, and I step forward and I said, well, we're on strike. We're not waiting for you. You know, you've sacked us for no reason. You haven't followed the right procedure. He said, I don't give a stuff about that. You'll get out of here. And I said, no, we won't. Sorry, mate. We're not leaving. We're staying here in this factory. We're occupying the factory. And he said, well, I'll see about that. I'll have the police down here, you know. And I said, oh, well, you go and get the police. We're going to get our union representative. So I rang up Tom Skinner, who was from the Federation of Labour. I met in the debate and that. I said, Tom, we're in this factory and we've just been sacked, so we're on strike, you know. What do you do? And he said, well, I'll send a man round next week to have a look. I said, well, that's next week. I mean, what do we do in the meantime? He said, oh, I'm sure you'll think of something. So I jumped in the car and went round to the head of the freezing works office. Frank Bernard, as the name was. And I said, well, we're making dog food, and it's kind of like being in the freezing works, you know, and we've all been sacked, and we'd like to join the freezing workers union. He said, too right, mate. Join up straight away. So we all joined the freezing workers union, and the boss came back, and the police arrived, and there was the... He didn't want to know about it, you know. So the foreman threw the keys at me and said, well, you want to occupy the factory, you can have it. And he stormed out. And Mr. Chapman, the boss, he was away in Fiji on holiday at the time. He got woken up in his hotel room and they had to fly him back. And it was sort of, again, one of these great moments. Like, I'd never had control of a factory before. But I thought, oh, it must be a setup, you know. They're hoping we'll steal some of the dog food and then they'll have us arrested. So we had this meeting and worked it out. And, yes, we sort of won in the end, really. The dog food, the freezing workers union came in. It was the first strike we'd ever sort of had, and it was a great victory for the workers. I'd never been in a union before, and I've never been in one since.
Well, it's 100% success rate, isn't it?
It was a high success rate, and we took control of it. But, of course, you see, Tom, bosses are clever. They work on brains, and they thought, these guys have been pretty smart, all right, but we can outsmart them because we're all rehired again and everything. And so the boss came round and he said, I'll tell you what, fellas, instead of producing your usual 9,000 cans per day, which is pretty slow, really, the way you're working, he said, I'll give you 2 free kegs of beer if you can turn out 20,000 cans in a day. And of course, I'm the union official by then. I said, no, we're not going to do it. It's bribery. It's obvious what they're trying to do. That's a feeble incentive. You know, if they want higher production levels than what we've agreed to in the contract, then they should have to pay fair wages to get them. We're not going to fall for that. But of course, all the workers said, oh, yes, we are. It was voted out.
That's bad, really.
And I think it's just because they're bored and, you know, it was a bit of a challenge. So that night they started, everyone got geared up. We got trawled, brought in extra cans for the process. We geared up the whole factory to do it because I'd been outvoted, so I had to go along with it. So we ploughed in, and the guy who worked on the cooker, because what they do, they love your food. They buy these offal from the freezing works, basically, or fish heads from a fish factory and grind them up and make them look like lovely. And then they put them in a tin, seal the tin, and then shove these racks of tins into these huge cookers. And you got to cook them for 25 minutes. Yeah. But the guy on the cooker thought, oh boy, if we want to get that keg of beer, we're going to have to push through a lot harder than this. We'll just cook them for 20 minutes. No one will notice. It's only 5 minutes difference. But when you're dealing with offal, 5 minutes is a huge difference, you know. And so they rushed out all these cans. When they're finished, we had them piling up in the yard, and they had to order more trucks and bring them out to the supermarkets and put them all on special. Love your dog, love your cat. Great big piles of them. And then, of course, suddenly someone heard an explosion. And the explosion was the first tin of Love Your Dog cat food, as the offal had turned to yeast and fermented, and boom, it exploded. And then all over supermarkets in Auckland, explosions were happening. But the boss still had to buy the 2 kegs of beer. And you know what workers are like with their boss when they've had a few kegs of beer. You know, all of a rough night, that boss. And then they're all the insurance claims the following day. They never tried to work out an alternative system to the union right after that time. So it was another great victory for the workers.
But yeah, it sort of put me off buying cheap dog food. Not that I ever do for the dogs, but it's not a pretty sight, is it?
Well, what we worked out in the end, anyway, they closed the factory down, and we said, oh, I hope it wasn't because of us. And they said, no, it was Yates had specialised in seed production, and Watties had decided to move into seed production and challenge their monopoly on them.
Mm-hmm.
So what Yates did as a countermeasure was open a dog food factory, because the biggest selling product of Watties was dog food. I thought it would be baked beans, but no, it was actually chef dog food.
Mm.
So after they'd had this sort of economic tussle, Watties agreed they wouldn't do any more seed production, and therefore Yates closed down their dog food factory. So it was, the whole thing was indeed a game anyway, but it was very satisfying, my career as a as a trade union. Yes.
Which actually, and we'll talk a little bit about the history, and you mentioned in our discussions, Tolpottle Martyrs, who sort of started trade union long time ago, and that's an interesting story of people who were, I think they were sent to Australia and then returned, and once it was realised that they had a cause that was worth following.
Yes, yes, well it is, I mean, everything in life, I believe anyway, you got to fight for it. You get nothing handed to you, and it's the same when I was talking about how we got the vote and the king, we had to cut the king's head off, you know. Well, it's the same thing with in workforce and in the 8-hour day and all that. It was a huge pitch.